glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. Hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, June 14th, 2019. I'm already talked out. Okay, Jason, take over. I had a pinnacle gathering yesterday. It's a small group time with some friends. Actually, there was, I think, 9 out of the 10 or 8 out of the 9. We meet at the Muhammad IGA typically on Thursdays, and we've had a practice of meeting a couple times a month. But some months back, somebody said, why don't we start just meeting every Thursday, and a guy can lead with his favorite verse or something that's going on in his life or whatever. And so yesterday, they asked me to share some of my life story and testimony and such. And I said, you know, I can fill up as much time, so why don't you all take your turn sharing and saying things? And they all were giving me a hard time. They're like, nope, I have nothing to say. I have nothing to say. So I think I probably shared maybe 50 straight minutes, almost the full hour. They had a lot of questions. And I told them about meeting up with some family and some unique ways God was using these family members in my life, some that I had not seen for many, many years. And so let me do a little shout out, and then I'll work in reverse, but a little shout out to Sister Kathy, Cousin Diane, Di, and niece, my favorite niece out east, Melanie. I think they've tuned in from time to time to the morning program, but just the influence that friends and family can have on your life. You and I have had many different discussions on wanting to be transparent before the Lord, growing, learning from him, and I've just recently had some experiences with family and friends that are transforming me. They're helping me learn and understand and more compassion. I was telling you about this individual that served me recently, that he was like this, maybe what you would say, a hardcore, I don't know if you'd say a punk rocker, that heavy metal rocker, tattoo all the way up in his arms. And if I didn't know him, if I was just told about this guy, I probably maybe wouldn't be a friend to him or whatever. This guy ended up being like the nicest guy, the hardest worker. He really taught me some things about not only prejudging people, but hearing them out, that God has given us all unique qualities and abilities. And I just really liked this guy a lot. And I thought, what a hard worker. And I really appreciated him. And it helped me to realize to be very careful that you don't stereotype or judge or whatever. And that was true of the sister and cousin and niece that I got to meet up with and have many times of laughter and sharing and seeing tender qualities that they had and how they work through issues that they've been through. And they kind of all in unique ways became heroes of mine, of how they, you know, got through things or how they're solving life issues or some of the compassion or the sensitivity they have for causes or individuals or, I don't know, I was telling you, a time of being with family that I've not had that was wonderful, sitting and sharing and talking and discussing and the laughter and the fun. And so usually when God does something like this in my life, he's preparing me for something new or different. And I've seen this tendency where he works out some things in my life or matures me in certain areas or brings really healthy conviction or change or just insights. And I think I've gone through a week or two of these discoveries. And those that have tuned in, I think 2 weeks ago when we talked about going to that seminar at Ravi Zacharias's headquarters, and some of those life lessons about team building and the culture of a ministry and putting Christ and Jesus first in your life. And that was like a stepping stone I think God was using in my life towards some other things. And then meeting up with family and spending time, quality time, talking and working through things was just another point of healing, of recognition of the importance of family and togetherness. And I don't know. I don't know. Today, I told you beforehand, I think I'm going to name today's program How God Uses Family and Friends. And yesterday at the Pinnacle Group, these guys for 50 minutes encouraged me and had lots of questions. And tell us about this. And how did you come to Christ? And what differences God made in your life? And how do you look at the future? And, you know, they jawed me as, you know, this is a group of like 8 or 9 guys that know me well. And we've met for, I don't know, 8 or 9 years. Many years, and so they have great senses of humor. And what about this? And, you know, I was sharing different stories and different family stories, and they were touched and I think encouraged. And then we're like cheerleaders, like, look what God has done with this radio ministry, and look how He took you from this home studio, and now you're at Lincoln Square, and look at how He added additional frequencies, and kind of being cheerleaders and yet being compassionate as you tell some of the harder stories or struggles you've had, where they well up a little and are supportive. And, you know, like what you've done, Jason, I was saying how you've been, you know, a counselor, and yet, you know, yeah, marital counseling you gave early on. You said, yeah, if you want me to marry you, you got to come to these 5 sessions. But how you've shared advice and input in this ministry and been encouraging, and I don't know. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what I'm trying to state other than I think God's doing a unique work, and He's like remolding me, like many people will illustrate with the onion, where God will take layers and work on you and bring healing and hope and change. And so I think I'm kind of reminiscing a little of being with family and spending such a great time with them, and also looking forward to the future, because I think when He usually does this in my life, there's something. Well, there's obviously ultimate purposes, you know, to grow, to reflect Christ, to be His ambassador. But I think even more than that, usually ministry-minded, there's other responsibilities or things that He may do into the future. And I don't know what that means or what that would look like, but I just know that this has been the pattern when He's kind of done these things in my life, and it's been so personal, and where it's almost been raw in a good way, so He can work a new work. I don't know. I'm kind of like, okay, Lord, what's up next? So I don't know. It was really some special times recently with family. And so thank you, Kath. Thank you, Di. Thank you, Melanie. And met some of these other friends or in-laws and people that were really special and really unique in their own right. Different personalities. And, you know, God really, I think, has a calling on all of us that follow Jesus to reach out, to allow that love of God to be exhibited and work through us. Even yesterday during the English conversation class, I told you this was the second week we're studying the Bible. These internationals want to know more about English, but 3 of them yesterday said, I want to know more about the Bible, what it means. And, you know, they shared from their own perspective. They've never read the Bible, and they've been starting to read it or learn about it. And, you know, they shared, and I think I was telling you, and I shared this over the air, I think it was last week, where one of the people, if Jesus knew He was going to suffer and He was going to be brutalized and He was going to go to the cross, and this was a Chinese gal that doesn't know much about Christianity, but she said, why did He go through with it? If He's telling His disciples that He's going to suffer and all these things, why didn't He prevent it? Why didn't He pull out? And we mentioned this last week, that basically because of His love for mankind, His love for the Father, His desire to fulfill the Father's will. Well, yesterday we talked about the Last Supper. And He's saying, you know, His blood's going to be shed, He's going to be pierced. And there's that prophecy in Isaiah that talks about where Isaiah's saying He's going to be bruised for our iniquities, like a sheep, He's going to go to slaughter. So somebody again said, but He doesn't deserve to die. Why would this man who is perfect, why would He suffer? Why would He be punished? Why would God do that? And I thought, oh, wow, what a great question. Why would somebody who was sinless, who never failed, who never did anything wrong, why is He going to be punished? So Nancy Miller and I were kind of co-teaching this. I said, well, Nancy, do you want to answer that? Because it's a great question. Why would Jesus, who is sinless, who is perfect, who is wonderful, you know, willingly go and suffer for us? And so we talked about the fact that because of sin. And so we got into a whole subject. What is sin? Why we're sinners? And, oh, anyway, so the last few days, the last week, it's been powerful where I think I need to take some time off and process it and say, okay, Lord, you know, reshape me, work in me, help me be more loving and caring. And anyways, I don't know, maybe I'm going to cry over the air. I don't know. Kind of tender point in my life.
Yeah, well, it's interesting, right? Because when the Bible says that anyone in Christ is a new creation, so anybody who accepts Christ as their Savior is a new creation. And a lot of us like to take that new creation piece and say, you're instantly new. Now, you are miraculously and instantly made new by Christ's work of salvation. You're His. But the newness that you experience is progressive. The newness that you experience is sanctification. It's the new working out the old. And when I say working out the old, working it out of you. And sometimes it's working out not just stuff that's inside of you, but working out stuff that's generational, something that stuff that's been handed to you from, you know, the Bible loves to say your fathers and your father's fathers and your father's father's fathers. I mean, the things that have been handed down. I mean, you know, for some of us, it's not just that the world is fallen today, but that the fallenness of the world through our generations that have been handed to us. You know, you look at the way you do some things and you go, my gosh, you know, I'm finding out I do that just the way, you know, and some of them are not positive things. And I do that just the way that my grandfather did that and just the way his father did that too. And how is it that I got that thing? Maybe I don't even know that person or I didn't spend a lot of time around that person, but I still seem to have some of these things that have just been handed down. And yet I think that God does all this work because God wants to work out of us the old man, the old creation, and to work into us the new creation. He wants to undo the fallenness of the world that's sowed itself inside of us and wants to undo the effects of that inside of us. And so I think that maybe that's what you're experiencing. You're experiencing, it's almost like a tube of toothpaste, but it's got the wrong stuff in it. And so God has to squeeze it out. But you can't just squeeze it all out at one time. There's a process of trying to grab the bottom and slowly squeeze it and slowly squeeze some more. And God knows exactly when the right time is for us to be able to do that. Because if God just squeezed all the toothpaste out of the tube, we couldn't handle it. You know, the toothpaste being
you
the...
You can't handle
it. Exactly. I mean, the toothpaste being, you know, the bad things in our life, the fallenness, all the effects of all those things, and the two being us, if God squeezed all that stuff out at one time, we wouldn't be able to emotionally handle that. We wouldn't be able to process it. Not only that, but that would just be the removal of things, which many of us know that when a problem is just removed, it isn't exactly always the healthiest way to work through it. You know, if your kid experiences a problem and you just remove him from that situation, sometimes you don't teach him anything. In fact, sometimes you teach him that all you have to do is be saved from something and not go through it. Mm-hmm. You know, and there is a real power in having to go through something and come out the other side. Having to experience something and come out the other side. And you come out the other side differently. You come out the other side changed. And sometimes the middle is quite messy and it's difficult and it's hard as God is squeezing that stuff out, as He's working that stuff out. And so maybe this past week for you, Mark, was an experience of God doing that. You know, why you feel tender, why you feel the way that you feel, is, and why you're looking at the world a little different. Because maybe God got to a part in that tube where He squeezed out this thing that was impeding you from being able to see the world as it is, instead of seeing the world as you have kind of constructed it so that you could better live in it in your fallen state. It's like your car. If your car doesn't work, your car figures out a way to work. You know, there's a point where your car just breaks down. But I remember years ago I had this old car and I brought it into the guy to get fixed. And I said, I think I need to tune up new spark plugs and new stuff and that. And he said, well, you know, he said, if I put new spark plugs, then I'm going to have to put this in and put this in and put this. Because once I put the new spark plugs in, all these other things that your car has done to figure out how to run in the absence of you taking care of it is going to start to come to light. All of a sudden, we're going to realize those wires aren't good, and that thing isn't good over there, and that thing isn't good over there. When you fix one thing, you start to uncover a whole lot of other problems because a broken system tries to still work the best that it can. You know, when God starts to fix one thing, I think that the other things that are broken, and, you know, God starts to remove some blinders from you in one area, and you go, wait a second. You know, you see the guy who you said, you know, was serving you and you had maybe looked at that kind of person in a different light in the past. You look at that person now and you go, wait a second. Why aren't I looking at this person the way that God sees it? Mm-hmm. And, you know, as that fallenness is removed from you, what you do, I think, what you tend to do is you tend to begin to see things more like God sees them.
Right.
You tend to see value in people instead of seeing problems. You tend to look for opportunities to love people instead of to be critical and to be hateful or to be whatever. You tend to look for ways that you can engage and laugh and love and do all those kinds of things rather than be remove yourself and simply maybe just work and do all that. I mean, listen, that's kind of maybe a big thing for you to even say, like, maybe I need to take some time off, because that's not what you normally say. You know, but that's what I think that probably God is doing. And God wants to do in all of us. Now, God will let us go on our way. You know, God, as I've heard said many times, a gentleman, where he'll say, well, you know, I mean, if you really want to do that, you know, and in kind of harsher terms, the Bible says that he'll hand you over to your sin if you want to do it. And whatever your sin is, you know, it doesn't just have to be immorality. It doesn't just have to be wickedness. It could just be selfishness. You want to be selfish? God will go, well, you know what? We'll see how that works for you. I'll hand you over to that and we'll let you do that. You want to look at people that way? Well, I'll let you look at people that way and we'll see what will happen. But my desire is always going to be that you would look at people the way that I look at people. You would do things the way that I would do things. I want to progressively, you know, I've made you a new creation. I want to progressively have you look more and more like that new creation, look more and more like what you should do, what you should be, and how you should be. And so, I think God's at work doing that. And it sounds like he's at work doing that in your life. And if you're listening today, I think that God wants to do those things in your life also. You know, but that's going to take some submission. That's going to take some moments where you actually, you know, as you interact in different situations, you step back and go, you know, God, what are you teaching me in this moment? You know, sometimes I think that's one of the most powerful questions we can ask ourselves whenever we're going through anything, is to say, what are you teaching me? What are you trying to show me in this moment? Because God is always actively trying to teach us. Either draw us near to something or move us, so have us see that something is offensive and we need to move away from it. But God is always speaking to us. He never grows silent and cold and callous. That's not God's nature, nor is it God's character. And so, yeah.
And what would you say to somebody that would say, yeah, but where was God when this happened? Or you're talking about this loving God. I don't know that loving God. I can't comprehend God being a loving God because of this and this and this. How do you answer that?
Yeah, you know, that's a really tough question, because in today's drive-through culture, we think that everything should get fixed, you know, self-help drive-through culture. We think everything should be fixed, taken care of, addressed, and done just like that in a moment. And that's not how God works. God doesn't change. We go through difficult things, and sometimes we go through difficult things to be conformed more into that new person that we're going to be. We go through difficult things because the world is a difficult place. We go through hard things because the world is a broken and hard place. But God doesn't change. See, that's so interesting. There's a song that I love to listen to, and I can't remember the name. I love it so much, I can't remember the name. But the chorus of it says, "The rock won't move." See, God doesn't change. When you're sad, God is still good. When you're unhappy, God is still good. When life is tough, God is still good. God doesn't change who God is. And this life is what it is. I mean, the world is a broken place. The world is full of a lot of broken people. And the tendency for us to get hurt or affected by all of that is great. It is great. Listen, the world's a dangerous place. That's the reason why God sent his son into the world, to give you a hope that transcends this world. That's why Jesus says crazy things like, "Fear not, for I have overcome the world." He says, listen, all that stuff that's going to bug you today, that's going to drive you, that's going to frustrate you, that's going to make you fearful, that's going to make you sad, that's going to make you hurt, all the things that you're going to encounter in the world, I've overcome all those. I'm bigger than those. When you're sad, I'm still good. When you're unhappy, I'm still good. When you're fearful, I'm still good. When you're whatever you are, I'm still good. And why, when you went through that difficult thing, did it not seem like God was there? Because I want to say it did not seem like God was there, because God was there. I don't know. You know, it'd be disingenuous. Maybe there's somebody who would just tell you, well, I got an answer for you. I don't have an answer. I know that there's biblical times where Daniel says, "Where were you?" And the angel said, "Man, we've been fighting for the last month, all the hordes of hell, to get to you, because they thought they wanted you so badly and they wanted to oppose so badly that it took us all this time to get to you." And sometimes God says, you know what, I'm going to bring you through this. It's really interesting, and we're short on time, so it's not really a good topic to get into because it's a long topic. But we live in a kind of evangelical culture where we love deliverance prayers. You know, we love these prayers. Deliver me from this thing. Bring me out of this thing. Father, rescue me. Jesus never prayed, "Father, rescue me." Jesus prayed, "Your will be done." Paul never prayed deliverance prayers. Go through the New Testament and study the prayers of Paul. I did so a few years ago. Paul never prays to be delivered from anything. Paul never prays for anybody else to be delivered from anything. In fact, when he prays for the Thessalonians in the first chapter, he doesn't say, I pray that you get delivered from the thing you're experiencing. Instead, he says, I pray that you actually bear well beneath the weight of what you're experiencing. Mm-hmm. Which is exactly what the Lord's Prayer says, isn't it? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. What is our daily bread? It's what we need for today in the midst of this fallen world. And lead us not into temptation. Father, help us not to be tempted. To be tempted to do what? Anything. Whether it might be fearfulness or faithlessness in the midst of going through difficult things. But deliver us from evil, because he will consistently be delivering us from the fallenness that surrounds us. What is the deliverance? See, again, now you said now deliverance prayers, but you just said deliver me from evil. No. You know what delivers you from evil? Turning your eyes to Jesus. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's not literally you being picked up from this bad situation and dropped into a good situation. It's you in the midst of a bad situation turning your eyes upon Jesus and looking full in his glorious face. Mm-hmm. And the cares of this world will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. That's deliverance. Deliverance is standing beneath great burden, great weight, sadness, frustration, and brokenness, and turning your eyes onto Jesus and go, listen, I'm a new creation, and one day I will look at him in the fullness of his glory, without blemish and with great joy. And that will carry me through today in a way that I don't know how anything else could.
Yeah, and that's for those that follow the Lord Jesus Christ. There's that verse, cast your cares on him and he'll care for you. So if having a relationship, a personal relationship with Almighty God is maybe a foreign concept or something you've never considered or entertained or thought about, God is a good God. He's a caring God. He loves you. He created you. You're not here by any chance or primordial slime evolving for billions of years. God handpicked you and fashioned you. He has an eternity planned and set out for you, but it's coming to know him, and you can know him best through the Lord Jesus Christ as you ask God to reveal himself, read his word, talk with other Christians, talk with people that follow Jesus, and ask them how they came to know God the Father in a personal way, because when you do and you understand God's character and God's love and his compassion, yes, he's holy, yes, he's just, yes, he's righteous, but he's full of mercy and care, and he delights in his children, and you would be one of his children as you follow him. So draw near to him and he'll draw near to you. Mm-hmm. And thank you, God, for the grace that you've extended to all of us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Read your Bible today and get to know God's love for you, mm-hmm. because he does care. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.